Who was testifying on this? Here he is, John.
Dick?
Oh. Sir. Chairman, for the record, I'm Art Snowden, Administrative Director of the Alaska Court System. This legislation would allow us leaseback authority for an extension in Anchorage. As the committee knows, most of the agencies and part of the court system in Anchorage is out in rental space at this point, comprising of about $1.3 million a year. The building's tremendously overcrowded. This legislature gave us planning and monies to purchase lands a number of years ago. This legislature has approved bonding monies, which were later vetoed when all the bond packages were vetoed. We have a tremendous crunch in Anchorage. If this authority was given this year, we still wouldn't have a building in place and open for at least 4 years, and I think we'll be in a crisis position by that time. I would be glad to answer any of the questions that any member of the committee might have.
Any questions? Senator Joseph?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. May I just make one more comment? There was a suggested amendment from the Department of Administration that if executive branch agencies were moved from a space that was controlled by the court, that we give them 1 year's notice. We support that amendment. We do that in any event, but it might be good to have it within the law. It's certainly a good amendment, and we would have every intention of so doing.
What's that got to do with your opportunity or your ability to lease?
The Department Administration in the building is also that continuation of our control over our space, and the Department Administration on that continuation that just repeals the sunset clause that you passed out earlier in separate legislation. There was a fear that possibly we would move somebody out before they could budget for it. We would certainly not do that, and we would have absolutely no problem that a year requirement would be made. But this committee passed out about a month ago another bill that would allow us to keep our lease control of those buildings that we have, and it just abolishes that sunset clause on that bill.
Why don't we just take that section out?
Because this would probably be the only vehicle that the two things would pass in, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, shoot. Senator Joseph, just refresh me on this. Is this for permanent long-range leasing or short-term interim leasing to your building?
This would give us authority to enter into a leaseback revenue bonds to construct a building. We would think that about 5 years from now, then we would come in with lease payments over a number of years until we own the building. We expect those payments, and this is a guess, to be about $8 million a year, which would be offset by probably a $1.5 million, maybe $2 million saving in leasehold and rents in other places.
Okay. The bill that we passed was Senate Bill 377, Prepaid and Termination Date of Supreme Court Authority. Section 3, Chapter 160, SLA 1980, is amended by Section 2, SLA 1982 is repealed. Senator Fisher?
Mr. Chairman, our question to Art. Would this give you authority to make arrangements to build buildings anywhere of any size at any cost?
There was a change in the Senate Judiciary. We wrote in the original bill, you have a committee substitute from Judiciary in Anchorage. Senator Ray felt that should be taken out. We explained to the committee that our sole intent and only intent is to build a building in Anchorage. They understood that. I think Senator Josephson was at that meeting. We said that was our intent, and we would certainly not mind any intent language at all attached to the legislation specifying that.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
State Affairs Committee just passed out a committee substitute for a bill introduced by Senators Bennett, Sackett, Kurtula, and others that very specifically provides for prior legislative authorization for state leases over $1 million, and for situations like this one where the total total arrangement will be for more than a year, for more than $1 million over the period of whatever the lease arrangement is, and where the state will end up owning the building. So in other words, lease purchase arrangements would require prior legislative approval. It would seem to me that this would be appropriate here.
Consistent
also
with that. Yeah, I think we'll just take a hearing this morning, then I'll work on this in line with that other bill, see if we can get them together. And another thing that we might look at is to put a termination date on the ability to lease, just so that you do have the power to
build that one building and not go hell-bent and build them all over the state.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as I said, that would not be our intent. We would hope that, although you might put a termination on our ability to do leaseback, that we would keep our authority to control our space, which is the last
thing. Oh, yeah, we have no, I don't think we have any objection to that, because you've done a better job, obviously, than any other department has.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, I might just point out that the bill I was referring to, the State Affairs Committee, CS, is in finance now, so
right.
They can be looked at together.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Anybody else who wants to testify on this? If this bill does go out, there's a fiscal note for $3.9 million from the Park Administration. I would propose that we zero that out entirely. It's kind of ridiculous.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just add on that, I did talk to Commissioner Rudd, and they intend to put a revised fiscal note in, according to my understanding, of zero, after discussing the bill with us, and they thought it meant something that it didn't, so they put in a revised fiscal note of zero.
Okay. Okay, Department of Revenue. Where were we on? What page did we find finish it off? Page?
We got 40 here. Thank you.
There's a letter that Dave Rose brought by yesterday. Tom, would you have that Xerox talk right there? It's on my desk somewhere. Okay, page 44, revenue. Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You can start off. Catch up.
Okay, page 44, Treasury Management. For the record, my name is Mike Scott. I'm an aide to Senator Ferguson. Yesterday we had Milt Barker, Deputy Commissioner, explain in detail the letter that reflects the increases on their contractual.
Mm-hmm. Were there any more questions on this picture page? If not, we'll proceed. Office of the Commissioner, page 48.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What's occurred here, Personal Services, they've basically deleted one position. We reduced out-of-state travel and reduced printing. They actually transferred position out and following Senate recommendation.
Page, go ahead, Senator.
Can we adjourn off that page? The commissioner's leaving, I understand, after the session.
Page 50, Administrative Services, $1,000,003.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. You see a significant, you see a transfer out of positions that reflects what has occurred in the data processing BRU. Other than that, we reduced according to Senate guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Senator Ferguson, I'm sorry, just continuing with that. Why don't you just take it over? We're on page 54.
Mr. Chairman, I prefer that Mike keep going.
Keep going through it?
Yeah.
Okay. Page 54, Permanent Fund Dividend.
Permanent Fund Dividend, again, Mr. Chairman, it transfers out the DP things. Other than that, it molds the last year's figures.
So anybody just interrupt as I go through this. 56?
Mr. Chairman, it's a general comment. When you add up all the DP charges for the permanent fund and the numbers that you see this year reflecting the program services, there's a net decrease overall in all the BR, in all of the components within the BRU.
Okay. Page 56?
Public services.
Just the same. Again. Page 58, enforcement.
Holds true. You see a slight increase there, but basically the transfer in and out.
Page 62.
That's the calculation that they figured for the permanent fund dividends.
What is the projected amount this year?
The only thing we researched was the $195 million, and just to make sure that that was consistent, the dividend funds are 50% of the earnings.
Thank you.
Commissioner, what is the amount? What's the anticipated amount from the projected amount for next year?
Chairman, 195 is correct.
No, the per person.
Per person? Slightly smaller than this year, around 350, I think we're projecting.
Senator Fakes, did you have a question?
Yes, I was just back into the enforcement area. The Attorney General was saying that the various agencies have to offer funds to the Department of Law for them to to go through the prosecution process over there. And I'm just wondering, is the $158,000 under contractual, does that go to the Department of Law, or how does the Department of Law get any money out of the enforcement, BRU?
Yeah, that I'd have to refer to the department on that.
Anyone want to respond from the department?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
There's contractual money in the division's budget in the PFD area to pay for an attorney who works in the Department of Law and prosecutes fraud as the only answer.
Off the top of your head, do you know how much that is? Is it the $45,000? I'm just trying to figure out how much you RSA to the Department of Law for that attorney.
I'm going to say it's approximately
$45,000. All right, thank you.
Page 68,
child care credits.
Letters of contribution. Right. Did I miss one?
Yes.
No.
66.
I had zero.
What, Mr. Chairman? Why? Why is that? Did we repeal the program?
No, we just took the governor's recommendation on that. And the governor, no. The governor's recommendation, you'll see in the adjusted, it says that he believes the appropriation from last year will be sufficient to cover 83 and 84 claims.
We'll be covered by extension of the lapse date. Where do we have the lapse date? In the budget document?
It's in a reappropriation, but, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, the one that were 409?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Political contributions.
We took the $600,000, the House took zero.
Any questions, comments? Data processing?
Mr. Chairman, these just reflect the transfers out from various companies.
No new people?
No, sir. They've had an accounting error. They asked for an adjustment on a position. Other than that, no, sir, it's an in-and-out transfer.
Okay, and going all the way to Administrative Services, Commissioner's Office, Department of Administration. We had, one open, which I want to go back to. I got the response on it, and that's on municipal taxes. On page 6, and we have a budget amendment to increase this, Senator Bennett. Last year we increased this up to the January figure, and I would propose that to be consistent we go to up an increase of 20.4 million. Is there an objection?
Mr. Chairman, only a question. That would bring us to January 84?
That would bring us to January of 84. Last year did the same thing. I think that's more than enough to take care of municipalities.
Mr. Chairman,
go
just
ahead.
Of the inquiry, could we know what the House did?
Do you know?
I don't know. They said they were, last time we talked to them, it was 70.5. Cush might know if it's changed. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The other item that we have opens on page 24. And there's a letter that was passed out that pretty much explains, from our discussion yesterday, that pretty much explains the increase here. And unless there's a request to keep it open, I'd like to make that very possible.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I apologize, I was not here yesterday for other reasons. This letter here addressed to you from Mr. Rose, does this refer to the permanent fund, the principal, or the interest earnings off the permanent fund?
The principal. We had discussions on the investment yesterday, and we wrote this back as a result of that. Is Dave here, or someone from the permanent fund? Are there any questions? Does anyone have any questions on permanent fund on this portion? Senator Bennett?
Through the chair, Commissioner. Who manages the interest or the earnings off of permanent fund? Is that managed in a different manner?
Well, the interest is managed along with the remainder of the permanent
fund. Okay. Okay, is there any objection to the figure of $4,352.5? without objection, that's approved. Department of Administration.
Chairman, I'd like to have Mike go through this also.
Okay, why don't you table?
Chairman, first, teacher's retirement match holds the FY84 level on the governor's request. Longevity bonus are reduced by about $1 million. The administration, after the session had started, recalculated their figures, found there was about a room for about $1 million to be deleted. We did that, and this doesn't anticipate anything happening with the longevity bonus program.
Mr. Chairman? May I ask a question? Mike, it's just a rumor, and I'd like to know if you know. Somebody told me yesterday that we have to make this decision about the longevity bonus within 10 to 16 days, the checks stop. Is that the case? Do you know that?
Certainly don't, and the department certainly has never communicated that to us.
Yeah, I have that understanding, too, that there's a certain date, I think it's within 9 days now, that the checks are going to stop.
Commissioner?
Checks go out usually on the 26th to the 30th of the month, and it's very possible that by the 26th of April, the court will have moved, but we may not send out any more checks. So we are looking at a deadline of about the 26th of April for some decision on the longevity bonus.
Could I know why we're under the gun now? What happened in the courts that would have led to this deadline of April 26th?
Lisa, could you explain what happened in the courts that led to this deadline?
We obtained a stay of execution of Judge Carson. In other words, he ordered that the longevity bonus was unconstitutional, but that we could continue it until a final court had ruled. However, the Supreme Court, a couple of weeks ago, what is the proper term, Joe? Eliminated
Stop
that stay of execution. So that as of, I think it's April 9th, the stay of execution is no longer in effect. The court is intending to hear the case on the 9th of April, and will have a decision for us, we think, in an expedited manner. If they decide in favor of the state, of course, then we can issue the check. If they decide in favor of the state before the 26th, then we can issue the checks. If they decide against the state, of course, the check won't go out. Or if they postpone their decision until after the 26th,
thank you. So there has to be a stopgap measure. If it's the will of the legislature, the policy will, to continue those checks on April 26th, no matter what happens, then we better have a piece of legislation in place that would allow you the authority to issue those checks. Thank you very much. Gee,
go ahead, Senator Friesen.
Okay, that's longevity bonus. So it changed. Pioneer Homes basically shows an increase. We did apply the Senate guidelines to it to reduce it somewhat to over the governor's.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. What is the Department of Revenue column?
Oh,
what department revision or what?
Yes, we should explain. What we tried something new with this budget and breaking it out. It shows the governor, and we always have the governor amendment, but we never show what we work out with the departments before we actually go to a Senate revise. In other words, the departments come. The departments have some things they need to change. We have a few things that we think should have been really within the governor's budget. And so long before we ever get to a real Senate revise at this point, We thought it would be appropriate to show a department revised to really get a true reflection of what this process really, what it really entails and how we interact. And so the department revised is we sat down with them, talked over a few things with them. They had a few concerns that came up with the department revised, and then the last column, Senate revised, is the one that we're bringing to the subcommittee, or to the full committee, from the subcommittee.
Thank you.
Do you want to go through each one of these, or just go through the
It's board? Consistent throughout that, where we took the Senate guidelines off the governor's numbers.
And that brings us to page 24.
the Older Lastings Commission. Basically, both components, we gave them what the governor requested, plus there's a couple add-ons. We have the backup here, if they're requested, under grants and services. And that would be
26?
One, yes, Mr. Chairman. One is for the Older Persons Action Group, $118,000, and Tanana Elders Grant for $225,000, as well as $98.8 for Southeast Senior Service Meals. The Tanana Elders is a continuation from last year, the Older Persons Action, and the Southeast Senior is the additional add-ons this year.
Can I get that Tanana Elders? I think that's the third year I've had to put that in there. Can I get that in the adjusted base some year?
Well, we wanted to reflect it in the Department Revised.
Okay. Long time care. Long term.
Term.
Care. Page 30.
Again, Mr. Chairman, the it just has the FY83 authorized and the grants which they had transferred. You'll notice the intent, this is where the Tanana home was last year. We show a transfer out of the senior center to contract services Manilik. The Pioneer Homes people felt that the Kotzebue Senior Center no longer belonged to the Pioneer Homes, where it was for several years. So we opted to transfer to contract services Manilik. Public Defender, we tried to apply the Senate guidelines to it, found that it would pretty much crimp their operations, and in fact, we did have some add-ons for a Barrow office and a Palmer office. We do have additional requests, which we told the sponsor of the amendments, add-ons, that we would hand out at the table for Senator Fisher. And as with that, we'll also pass out the backup for the Palmer office.
Okay, excuse me. The subcommittee didn't add the Palmer office, or did?
The subcommittee added the Palmer and the Barrow office.
Okay, but you don't have it listed down here under... Oh, I'm under first judicial.
Yeah,
just
starting
a second.
Page 38.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Uh-huh.
I have a form, an amendment form, a budget request form, specifically for Anchorage Public Defender in the amount of $195.5. I could hand it out, or... unless you want to use the summary request. That's the summary.
Ask the department if this is their areas of most critical need.
Yeah, why they didn't ask them themselves. Sure.
Dana Fave from the Public Defender's Office is here to answer any questions. If she could come.
Why weren't these requested through the administration if they were so important? Is Dana Fave here?
She's here.
Dana, yes, I actually did it. These are two attorneys based on budget increments for the district attorney's office. And basically what happens is if there are prosecution teams of two attorneys and a paralegal and secretary, probably two of them have been added to the DA's office during the budget process, what happens is if we don't have a defender to meet to compensate, when those new prosecutions are generated, we cause real delays in the court system because we don't have a defender to defend the prosecute the new prosecutions that are generated. And I believe the department was alerted along the way of the fact that the prosecution had a drug metro prosecution unit in its budget of two attorneys, a paralegal and a secretary, as well as a child exploitation and child abuse and prosecution team of an attorney, a paralegal and a secretary. And due to these seven new positions, what I think we would need is two attorneys and a crook typist to be able to talk to the prosecution and generate that.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I'm confused.
Dana, why don't you come up here?
question to you is, looking at the state as a whole, if you had in your budget process the opportunity to recommend the critical needs across the state for additional public defenders and attorneys, would these two areas, Anchorage and Palmer, have been number one and two on your list? Or is there a critical need somewhere out there that's more critical than these areas? What's your priority order?
Yeah, what's my priority order? I think the two places in crisis right now are the barrel office, where there are two DAs prosecuting out there, and one public defender, and that's, I think, what the budget reflects. And in fact, I'm having to regularly supplement my barrel PD with Anchorage and Fairbanks help, just because every month she's getting into a real crisis in terms of too many trials back to back and not being able to handle them all. And the other place that we're seeing a real crisis is Anchorage, due to the fact that the municipality caseload continues to soar, and the fact that felony prosecutions are on the up increase. And because the DA's office for next fiscal year contemplates seven new positions to do nothing but generate felony prosecutions out of Anchorage, I think that if we don't have some help to compensate for that, what happens is that we have to ask for continuances in the court because we can't be everywhere at once, and delays result, which makes the judges angry and the victims angry, and is not really the best thing for the client who's in most of the time pretrial jail facility. So it's not good for anybody. So I think that the Anchorage and Palmer, the Palmer caseload, they're about to add a third district attorney to that office. We have one PD, and the caseload was so critical up there that I moved an Anchorage public defender up there to help them out on a permanent basis as of January, so that putting that Palmer position in will allow me to have that Anchorage misdemeanor attorney back to give some relief there.
How many attorneys did we add to the Anchorage office last year?
I think that there were two attorneys for House Bill 6, which was the drunk driving bill, due to the fact that new drunk driving prosecutions started, as well as the fact that the jail terms for those cases were increased to the point that we have many more people wanting to go to trial. So I believe there were two as part of House Bill 6, which was the drunk driving bill. And there may have been a third one, I'm not sure. I'm almost positive it was just the two.
In the okay,
the other question I have, excuse me, just one more, is what part of your the problem that you have in the public defender's office in Anchorage is due to the municipality coming in under state laws versus municipal ordinances?
Yeah, I think that, that's a really good point, that as the municipal caseload rises, the municipality, for example, has just added two new prosecutors, is my understanding, and more prosecutors generate out of that office, and yet the municipal assembly, of course, doesn't fund us, so that there's no care taken to make sure that the defense numbers are equivalent, so that we can make sure that the cases keep moving through the system without delays caused by our office.
That is not a problem, actually, of the city prosecuting under, you defend all the cases they prosecute, don't you?
That's right. Oh, yeah, I may have misunderstood the question then.
You defend all cases that the city prosecutes?
That's right. Under whether municipal law or state law, it doesn't matter.
The municipal ordinance as well. Didn't we pass a bill last year?
We had a bill up last year.
There was a bill that passed the Senate, but it's still in the House.
And what did that do?
That would make the municipality of Anchorage responsible for its own defense costs.
Public defender costs.
Which
public defender costs, which you are taking care of right now.
Which we are taking care of right now, and which is really draining.
Okay.
Now, one more thing, Dana. I assume that one of the motivations...